Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good morning to you. It's a Tuesday. Hope that you survived your penultimate Monday before Christmas. I know, trotting out the big words. Funny story about me. For years, I didn't bother to look up the definition of penultimate. I thought it meant something else, and I was using it in all the wrong ways. Until I finally got corrected by someone. I don't remember who. I think it was a fellow broadcaster. And realized that it's a great word if you're using it in proper context. Oh, no, I was using it just because it was flowery and I didn't know the correct definition. I was close. I was in the neighborhood, but I did not have the correct definition. So now I like to drop it every now and then when I can. All right. See, no point in pretending to be something you're not. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. As we say good morning to you on a Tuesday, we recognize that people are in the final stages, maybe even scrambling to find last-minute Christmas gifts. I know a lot of people have family celebrations or friends' Christmas celebrations, parties in these next few days.
Last minute.
Coming up this weekend. Well, I think there are a lot of people on the 20th and 21st, which is this coming Friday, Saturday, maybe even Sunday the 22nd, who will do alternate celebrations, right? So for instance, I've got some friends who on Christmas Day and Christmas Eve, the various parts of the family are scattered with in-laws and this celebration and that celebration. So instead they do their large family gathering on the Saturday before Christmas. So they're doing it this weekend.
Okay. All right.
My brother and sister-in-law, they're traveling for Christmas. So they're doing a separate kind of more intimate family Thanksgiving this week, family Christmas this weekend. I do know that there are lots of people who have Christmas parties, not me, because we'll be driving. Oh, so much driving, taking off on Friday and driving to Texas. This will be my fifth road trip to Texas in 10 years. Fifth. And every single time there's been at least one pet involved in the trip. Thankfully, there are two adults this time and only one pet, though I, of course, wish I still had Penny and she was coming with us. But we've got our road trip to get ready. And so we're doing our last minute challenging gift, whatever. We have one or two people left that are just kind of challenging people to buy for. So I was talking about it with my husband and kind of looking around the house like, hey, what do we have that we can give? Not necessarily something that someone else gave us, but hey, what do we have here? That because they're brand new married, and so maybe they need something from inside the house. And then I heard this news report, news story on a local New York affiliate in which a new survey's results were revealed. One in three Americans believe that regifting is okay. Regifting is now acceptable for a lot of different reasons. One in five Americans will admit that they have regifted in the past. I will raise my hand. I do not like to waste things. I can't stand throwing things out. Sometimes I hang on to items, especially if they're perishable, far too long because I think, okay, I'm going to use it. I don't like throwing things out. I would rather re-gift an item, and I would rather have someone re-gift an item to me than throw it out. The idea of chucking something so it ends up in a landfill to me is far worse than re-gifting it and, or as I like to say, rehoming a particular item that either you won't use or you can't use. What if someone gives you a gift and you have food allergies, right? Maybe in that case you should throw it away. But I was using this example earlier. I am new to my husband's family. We're doing a big, huge celebration on Christmas Eve. 20 people. They don't all know me. They're not probably all going to ask my husband, what should I get her? They're trying to figure it out. If someone gives me a large box of chocolates, I love dessert, but that's not what I'm going to waste my calories on, is a large box of chocolates. Very kind. I wouldn't tell them I'm not going to eat them, but I would probably turn around and find another home for that box of chocolates. To me, that's better than throwing the whole thing out. Or if someone gives me a box of candy canes, producer Pete wants to give me a jar of mayonnaise. I am not going to use those things. So why would I not then turn around? Actually, I would feel badly giving anyone mayonnaise. Why am I not going to turn around and find a better home for those candy canes? If I give producer Pete a gift and he doesn't like it or doesn't want it or thinks that it's not something he can use, I would rather he give it to someone else. Although, again, a jar of mayonnaise, that's just rude. But okay.
I really want to try this jar of mayonnaise.
No. I swear to you.
Just for the effect.
That will be the end of our friendship.
Or jar of something. Or a big bowl of cheese balls or something.
Cheese balls. Okay, well, I do love cheese, but it depends on how these cheese balls are made.
That's true.
There's a lot of food that I will eat because someone gives it to me. And when it's a friend or a family member, specifically my nieces or my brother, my sister-in-law, my mom, she gives good gifts. Even if it's something I don't normally use, if it's from someone that I love, I will use it so that they can see me use it. I'm not suggesting that you turn around and re-gift anything you don't like.
Right.
Because if it makes a family member happy, well, Eve, get over yourself. Maybe it's not a color you would normally wear. Who cares? Someone went through the process of buying it for you and they're really excited, you keep it. But if it's something that's just going to collect dust in your closet or you're going to shove under your bed, what is the point? Wouldn't you rather find it a nice home? I'm in the process of trying to adopt a new dog. Wouldn't you rather find the dog a new home instead of stuffing the dog under your bed?
But do you want to become the notorious person that regifts?
How is anyone going to know?
Well, there are people, like I said, it could come back around, 6 degrees of separation.
You know how a dog, this is another dog analogy, a dog generally does not go to the bathroom where it sleeps.
Right.
Right. So don't do that.
We had someone that did that.
Right. And that's unfortunate. Don't do that. Don't re-gift an item in the same area where you got it.
Right.
In the same circles where you got it. But if someone else would be blessed by it and they would be happy and it's exactly what they always wanted, why not? If it makes you feel better, let it sit on your shelf for 3 years and then turn around and re-gift it.
Right. I'm not going to get a gift from Aunt Mary and give it to Uncle Joe.
Well, no, of course not. And if, like I said, if you have to wait a couple years because it makes you feel better about yourself, but they're not going to know. Is it because your conscience eats at you?
Yes.
So you feel guilty about giving away the gift.
I do.
What would make it acceptable? I don't feel like you're the kind of guy who would waste something.
My clarification of it. So basically, if I had this thing that I didn't want,
mm-hmm.
and I
mm-hmm.
gave it to you, and I said, mm-hmm. I don't want this. Here's this gift from me to you. I'd rather you have it because I know you'll put it to good use.
Okay, but then I feel bad because you actually didn't put a whole lot of thought into it. It's just something you don't want.
But then I would also get you something else, too. I wouldn't just give you that.
Oh, so it's a dual gift.
It's a dual gift.
You would re-gift, but there has to be something else that goes along with it.
Yes. Yes, actually, yeah.
Interesting. Okay. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I do appreciate these, I think, societal questions that many people are dealing with this time of the year. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Rather than throw it away, I would rather, and we kind of flipped it on its head. We were talking about this last hour. I would rather you not throw it away. That to me is more offensive. Either tell me that you're not going to use it or find a good home for it. That doesn't bother me. If you chuck it and you throw out my hard-earned money or something that I spent time making, that's even worse. If it's something I made for you and you throw it out, like my baked goods, which is one of the classic gifts that I give because people love my baking. If you're going to not eat it, don't throw it away. Give it back to me or give it to someone else who can use it. That doesn't change your mind any?
This is a very tough topic for me. I need to have the qualifier with it if I do it.
Okay. All right. Qualifier it is. We've put a post up online at A-Law Radio, at Amy After Hours, also on our Facebook page. You can also vote for TD of the Week. We'll give you those options as we head through this final hour of After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Just a few more shows in studio before I head out on my road trip, or we head out on our road trip. Not Pete and I, but my husband and I. And we'll be doing some shows from Texas, so it's not like I'm taking off the rest of the year, but the driving, couple days for Christmas stuff, and then back with you the end of next weekend. So working through Thursday morning this week, and then we'll have a week off. I think that the Atlanta Falcons could use a week off. This is what's happening now with them when it comes to their quarterback position. There's a lot of pressure on Kirk Cousins, a lot of calls for him to get benched. They do not have a better option. They're now 7-7 after beating the Raiders last night. They were going heavy run anyway. He finally throws another touchdown pass. Maybe getting the win takes some of the pressure off, because to me that exacerbates any situation is when you're losing. It always looks far worse. That game, got to tell you, tough to watch. Couple of block kicks. If you missed it, if you're a Raiders fan, if you're a Falcons fan, oy, four turnovers. Really, the bright spot was the run game and maybe some of the defense, too. Alexander Mattison, he ended up getting tackled in the end zone, so there's a safety for the Falcons. Also, you had the late interception on what was the second Hail Mary attempt. Saw some Falcons fans online hyperventilating. So a win is a win is a win is a win. Pretty touchdown connection with Drake London. So these are all positives. Maybe that takes some of the pressure off. The Falcons are now 7-7, so they're a game back of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the NFC South. Now, turning our attention to a much more competitive division in the NFC North, this was Bears and Vikings, and oh, the stars were out. Why? Well, in part because they were honoring Randy Moss.
Darnold, straight drop off play action to the end zone, and touchdown! Justin Jefferson with a 7-yard touchdown from Sam Darnold, and the Vikings have a 9-0 lead. Handoff, Aaron Jones to the right side, into the end zone, touchdown! He's showtime! And he runs the Minnesota Vikings to a 19-3 lead.
Paul Allen with the calls on Vikings radio. In pretty much every way you possibly can, they overwhelm the Bears in this one. And I was struck by the number of self-inflicted wounds for the Bears. It seems like at this point in the season, week 15, some of that might have been cleaned up. Now, the Vikings committed their fair share of penalties. This was kind of a flag fest late in the game. 19 different flags, couple of turnovers in this one as well. But it feels like the Bears, they are their own worst enemies. One step forward, two steps back for them. One case in point. So I happen to be listening at this point on the radio because I was getting ready to make the drive into work. They get all the way into, I mean, they had multiple snaps inside the red zone, but they get all the way into the 1-yard line. DeAndre Swift has a terrific run of 17 yards. So they go from the 18-yard line to the 1-yard line. On first and goal, Swift takes the handoff. Gets into the end zone. Boom, touchdown. Okay. And at this point, the score would have been 13-7. Okay. So you're within one score, game still within reach. Instead, that touchdown gets called off because there was an illegal substitution. All right. So there's one play that pushes them back 5 yards. DeAndre Swift gets the ball again. So they replay first down, first and goal from the 6. He gets the ball again. He goes back to the 1 yard line. There they are again. Look, you're right on the doorstep. Oh, hey, guess what happens on the next one? The next one, they have another penalty. This time it's offensive holding. Are you kidding me? Now they're back 10 yards. They replay second and goal. Incomplete pass. Third and goal. Incomplete pass. Fourth and goal, they decide we're not going to go for the touchdown. We're going to settle for the field goal. But talk about demoralizing. They have, I'm going to count, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 snaps inside the red zone. Multiple snaps from the 1 yard line and cannot get the ball across the damn goal line without committing a penalty. To me, that is a major difference between this Bears team and the others who are competing there in the NFC North. And I know these are tough opponents. It's a rough year to be a rookie quarterback in the NFC North. And I appreciate the professionalism of Caleb Williams. I know there's a lot to like about him. A lot of this probably has to do with the fact that they've lost a head coach. They've obviously lost a bunch of games in a row. They're not on the same page. Yes, it's a rookie quarterback, so that's part of the deal, but it's not just him. You throw a guy in there who's never coached before in the NFL, head coach, and you ask him to be in charge of a team that's on this downslope, that's essentially riding an avalanche to the pit of the NFL, and it's rough. This is a hard way to do business, and I appreciate that Caleb's trying to take a positive in that he's looking at all this adversity and, hey, it's good for me and my career.
Coach is getting fired and all of this stuff that's going on, 4-10 right now. So being able to wake up, be consistent, do that every day, you know, how it's, you know, been going is encouraging for me. It's encouraging, you know, for this team, and we got to keep going.
How about that? It's encouraging for them. They trailed 13-0 at the half, 20-3 after the third quarter. Minnesota able to tack on another touchdown there. And I do think there are positives. But yeah, you're up against a team that's a lot better than you. You cannot leave points out there on the board or on the field, I should say. And you certainly can't make the kind of mistakes that they have. They need to hire a coach who's got experience. To me, that's the biggest thing, because you've got a job on your hands. That defense can be real good. There were some impressive stops against the Vikings. There were some moments where you think, okay, they're not that far off. And yet they don't have the leadership. They don't have the voice that's going to lead them forward. And this is part of the issue when you fire your coach in season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. As for the Vikings, don't look now. They are 12-2. They've won 7 games in a row. They are among the hottest teams in the game, and I feel like we've seen different iterations of the Vikings where they can beat you a variety of ways. So they're becoming a team that is a force. Same record as the Lions, same record as the Eagles, and we'll talk about the Lions here coming up. And it's always a lot easier to fix the issues when you've got a win. They would tell you their offense also left a lot of points out there. They had some penalties, though they were real good on third down. That stood out. Still, though, 7 in a row, now tied for the best record in the NFC. That's big.
He's set an incredibly high standard for himself. So I think everybody, me included, sometimes when either somebody's open or, you know, he's able to stride into one and doesn't, you know, throw an absolute strike, pretty good standard to set for yourself when we're all kind of wondering what happened at that point.
Sam Darnold, he has been one of the coolest storylines of this NFL season. I think this is a statement to the rest of the league. Guys who buried him, analysts, teams, gave up on him, all that jazz. Oh, no, he's got many more years ahead of him. Still a pretty young dude. And Kevin O'Connell, Sam Darnold have struck the right note. Plus, they also were able to defensively force the Bears into a lot of those mistakes. So good stuff. We'll get to their shout out to Randy Moss a little bit later. Really sweet to honor a Hall of Famer as he battles cancer, now that we found out on the last couple of days. Straight ahead, going to pivot a little bit in the NFC South. The Panthers, what positives can you take away from this first season under Dave Canales and the fact that they've been competitive lately? We will ask. We'll head to the source. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Bryce throws deep down.
Oh, he's open.
Wide open. He's got the 45. He's got midfield. Down the right. right sideline. Nobody to beat. Malin Coker, 83 yards for the score.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
There are highlights for the Carolina Panthers. They've been really competitive in a few of their more recent games in the past month. And right now are not sitting on the number one spot when it comes to the draft in 2025. Those are the positives, but I'm sure there are more positives. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. We're asking you where you stand on regifting. That's our holiday question this morning. And I'm sure I'm going to have to pose this to our guest as well, but maybe after we talk football. Chris McClain joining us, host of Mac and Bone, part of our lineup in Charlotte, WFNZ, our Charlotte affiliate. So, Chris, where do you find more positives with the Panthers this season?
First of all, Amy, how you doing? I must say that me ignoring your producer last week when he asked me to come on last week and talk Panthers, the Panthers have been playing real good, two wins and then three real competitive games against playoff teams. And I forgot your producer texted me to come on last week. I would say that I am paying for that today because if we did this interview last week as he wanted to, we would have had so many positives. I mean, I was calling it a five-game Panther winning streak. Two real wins and three moral victories. I mean, we were feeling good. Bryce Young was looking better and better each week. And then this dang Cowboy game hit. And it is hard to remember how we felt for the last few weeks. So the Cowboy game has been a complete bummer. It feels like a total regression from what they had been doing over a five-week stretch. They finally found consistency. It really felt like Bryce had developed into the quarterback they wanted him to be. And this Dallas game was such an ugly performance. Bryce turned it over four times. The rest of the team on all phases were also, you know, bad. And so now I'm shook. I don't know, like, what we saw for a month or so. Are they really improving? This feels like they're back to unfortunately, where we're used to being, you know?
Well, the Cowboys game notwithstanding, maybe that was because the Panthers were favored. I mean, I feel like for the how long has it been since the Panthers were favored in a game?
It was almost exactly 2 years. It was December 18th of 2022, and the Panthers lost that game too. So you're apparently right. Apparently the stress and pressure of Vegas saying, we actually think you're capable of winning a football game is something that is insurmountable for this organization. So this week, Amy, we were all happy to see when the spread came out for the Arizona game, the Panthers are back to being an underdog where we're comfortable.
Were you surprised, actually? Because I was surprised. I know it's a really down year for the Cowboys, but I was surprised to see that the Panthers were favored.
I'm going to tell you, to show you how little of a life we have here in Carolina, nice. We had actually, me and my Kyle Bailey, my host on the pregame show each week for the Panthers, well, he had been kind of tracking this for literally weeks. Like, we have a chance to be favored again in this Dallas game. And he had been telling me all along, it's been since December 2022. So he was basically like, there's no way I could not be aware of this, because he was counting down to the week where it was possible the Panthers would be favored, and we were, and they went out there. And
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
He laid such a total egg, man. God, it was brutal.
It definitely was, so there's no saving you there. However, as you point out, it had been five kind of victories in a row before that, and Bryce Young has seemed to be taking steps. So what have you seen with him?
Yeah, this week it was just sloppy with taking care of the football. You know, he had two fumbles that he lost, another one that he fumbled, Micah Parsons stripped him to, and that one the Panthers got back, two interceptions. This was definitely the complete opposite of what he had done for 5 weeks. He had protected the ball so well. I think he had one turnover in the last four games of play before this week. He was really taking care of the football. He was handling pressure so well. Like, in the rookie season last year and then the first two starts this year before he got benched, I mean, the pressure was just all over him, and it got to him, and you could just see it. He was watching the rush. He was fleeing a clean pocket. He wasn't stepping up in the pocket. And he started to look so comfortable in the face of a rush. He would stand in there and take shots against the blitz and deliver it downfield. He would start improvising and making magical plays, improvising like he did at Alabama. I mean, it was all the stuff, Amy, that we thought he would do when they drafted him number one overall. It finally started happening. Last week, I would like to think, is just a setback. You know, it's said all the time, progress isn't exactly always linear, right? Sometimes you got to go up the steps and, hey, I got to take a step back. Hopefully that's what it is. But I do think we're looking at this Arizona game this week is like pretty important for the team's rebuild, and or at least how we feel about the team's rebuild and about Bryce. Like, can they just bounce right back and snap right back to what they had been for a month or so?
How much confidence is there in Dave Canales now that he's got nearly a year under his belt?
Yeah, I don't think there's no way you can't like feel good about Bryce Young's development and what Canales has done with him. I mean, when he benched him after 2 weeks, it was a bold move. I mean, and a lot of us, I mean, Bryce was struggling so bad that it was understandable. But also, like, the whole offseason after Dave was hired, the whole thought was, this guy's the quarterback whisperer. Look what he did with Geno Smith. Look what he did with Baker Mayfield. And it's like, the thought was, he's here to whisper sweet nothings to Bryce, right? Just to two more quarterback whispering. And for him to, like, hey, 2 weeks in, he stopped whispering. You know, Andy Dalton's in there. So it was a little, you know, confusing. He also, in press conferences, Amy, would go out of his way to not answer any questions about Bryce while he was benched. Like, so it was almost like, does he just consider this dude like not even part of the team? Like, he won't even tell us what his role is in practice or anything. So I think for a while we were like, is Dave Canales just out on Bryce? Andy Dalton has the car wreck and Bryce gets back in there. And as I was telling you, everything felt different. I think you have to give Canales credit, right? He's a specialist with quarterbacks. He's calling the plays offensively. And even if, like, during the benching, we didn't really know, hey, is Bryce ever going to play again for this coach? I think you got to give him credit. I think, you know, I was listening to Chase Daniel talk about Bryce Young, former NFL QB, now commentator, and he said, honestly, he says, I've never seen a benching of a quarterback result in this, you know, have this good of results. I think you have to give Coach Canales credit for that.
Chris McClain is with us from Charlotte, host of Mac and Bone on our Charlotte affiliate, 92.7 WFNZ. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I kind of feel like it's progress that the coach has not been fired midseason.
Yes, that is.
Wasn't it been 3 years in a row,
that is
right?
A goal. Hey, you got to take the small victories with the Carolina Panthers, Amy. And that is one of them. Why do I think every day when you coach for David Tepper, you're nervous when that key card is being used?
Okay, so let's assume, for the sake of argument, just because it makes for a better discussion, that Canales survives this season and they're working on their second offseason with him, trying to take steps forward, positive steps forward in this rebuild. What do they do next?
They've got to address the defense. I mean, this defense in the offseason saw them trade away Brian Burns to the Giants, saw Frankie Louvu, another playmaker, go to Washington in free agency. And it doesn't help that Derek Brown went out in week one, you know, the best defensive player right. This team has. But this team needs more defensive talent. The pass rush has struggled for most of the season. The run defense is the worst in football by 30 yards, Amy. You got to go. They give up 173 yards a game. The next worst run defense gives up 30 less yards a game. I mean, it is horrendous. I think you and I might be able to each get 50 yards rushing against
this
defense.
Yeah, let's go.
All right, I might have gone too far there. But and the secondary got exposed by Cooper Rush, of all people, this past weekend. So this really has to be a draft and an offseason where they just hammer the defensive needs so that on offense, Bryce Young doesn't have to score 30, you know, to win games.
Right. It's definitely not all NFL there, because only a couple hours away, UNC has hired Bill Belichick. I have got to know your authentic reaction to that, Chris.
Chapel Bill, baby. Well, first of all, you know, Amy, like, storylines that are gold are our best friend in this business. So, like, having this thing happen has been amazing. Tar Heel fans are so stoked and excited. They cannot believe it happened. I can't believe it happened. We all can't believe the commitment in a monetary fashion they're making to football. I mean, like, some of these reported NIL numbers and then the contractual numbers for the coaching staff, like, those numbers put them in the top five programs in the country in monetary commitment to those things. So I think the fact that Bill has that monetary commitment to the staff and to NIL in this era, I think that's huge. I'm personally skeptical about Bill doing the college coaching, and I've noticed that all his former players that have spoken up in the media seem a little skeptical, too, about how does he handle younger players and college kids, and how does he handle, you know, the whole recruiting process? Is he schmoozing mom and dad? How does he handle when an 18-year-old makes an NIL demand? So I am kind of skeptical about Bill, you know, coaching at this level. But you can't deny he is armed with severe funds for the coaching staff
right. And
for the NIL, you know, kitty. And that's half the battle, if not more, right there. So this is going to be freaking fascinating. One of the most fascinating things in sports in this state in years. It's crazy.
I don't know who you could hire that has more experience talking to agents and negotiating contracts and figuring out how to make all the pieces fit. To me, it feels like UNC struck it rich, or, you know, hit the gold mine, whatever. I can't imagine how it fails. Now, maybe it's not a 20-year solution for UNC or a 20-year legacy, but I don't know how he doesn't instantly make that program better just by stepping on campus.
And he also has the luxury of being in the ACC. I mean, I don't want to talk bad about the conference here, of which I'm in the footprint of, but, you know, he goes to the SEC, that's a gauntlet. In the ACC, listen, SMU came in, Amy, first season from the AAC and was in the conference championship game. So there is and the schedule next year is really doable for Carolina. So you have that going for you, too.
I like it. Okay, this has nothing to do with football, Chris, but because I have great confidence in your ability to field a question for which you are unprepared. We're having a debate on this edition of the show about regifting. Now, the studies will say that 1 in 3 Americans believe that regifting is now socially acceptable, although only 1 in 5 will admit to doing it. Where do you stand, Chris McLean, on regifting?
First of all, I need to know what's up with that 13%, right? If 20% admit to doing it, but 33% think it's acceptable. If you think it's acceptable, why can't you admit to doing it?
Right.
But I've got personally, regifting is, if it wasn't for my wife, now any gifts that have to be given out, Amy, I'm going to be honest with you, it's like cheating on the smart kids paper in class. Like, my wife just handles everything, and I'm spoiled rotten. It's sad. And she openly tells me that I would not be able to function without her, and she ain't lying. But it, just in a general principle, like, I have to be honest. If I get a gift and find out it's re-gifted, but I like the gift, I don't really give a crap about, you know, where it was, its origins and stuff like that. So to me, I think it still comes down to, is it a good gift for that person? And if it is, I don't care if it was re-gifted. It doesn't matter to me.
Philosophy of regifting. I like it. We've almost convinced producer Pete. He was so completely against it to start, but we've been pretty convincing, I think, over the course of the show.
If it doesn't work for you, but it works for somebody else,
don't throw it away.
To me.
Don't put it in a landfill. That's not a good end game for the gift.
Well, that's true. Like, if you're handing over a pair of, like, used underwear and you're regifting that, like, that's a slight issue.
All right. That's where you take it too far, Chris.
Is that where I'm done with the show?
No one needed to hear that at all. First thing in the morning. Okay. On that note, this is what you miss when you don't listen to Mac and Bone. Sports Radio WFNZ 92.7, our affiliate in Charlotte. You can find him online at Mac WFNZ. Always good to catch up with you. And yes, that's what you get, a crappy game because you refused to answer the producer last week.
Next time, I'm telling you, I'm not forgetting the text from y'all. All right? Because something worse is going to happen 3 days later.
Uh-huh. Merry Christmas to you. Thank you, Chris.
Same to you.
See, now, Pete, you've been vindicated. You reached out. He should have jumped on when things were getting good. And instead, he decided he would blow us off. Oh, okay. We got ghosted. Well, see what happens to your Panthers.
That's right.
That was kind of him, though, to fess up. I appreciate that. Do you believe in regifting? And as Chris points out, what happened to those of you who said it was okay? How come you don't do it then or don't admit to it? And also, you can vote for TD of the Week. Your candidates coming up yet again. And a little more with that dude, Bill Belichick, who I don't recall seeing this excited. Wowzers, he's all in on UNC. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Pat Boyle.
Infinity Sports Network Sports Flash.
All right, Amy, for simple, smart savings on your prescriptions, go to GoodRx.com or download the free GoodRx app. Monday Night Football doubleheader, we start in Minnesota, where skull chants rain down on Caleb Williams and the Bears all night. Vikings win in a rout, 30-12. They've won 7 in a row to get to 12-2 on the season. Sam Darnold, 231 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 INT. Justin Jefferson had 7 catches for 73 yards and a TD. Bears were shut out yet again in the first half before showing some life in the second half. Caleb Williams threw for 191 yards and a touchdown, but was under constant pressure all night, got strip sacked earlier in the game, and made an interesting comparison afterwards.
Say you get in three car accidents and, you know, a month, you're going to feel it, and that's what a hit is in football. Y'all didn't know. A football and getting hit. Especially when you can't deliver a hit to somebody, as in like running the ball, you take those over amount of time, and it builds up.
Bears have now lost 8 in a row. They're 4-10. In Vegas, the Falcons left the door open for Desmond Ridder and the Raiders to make a comeback. Then they slammed it shut on the final play of the game, an interception in the end zone on a Hail Mary. Atlanta able to hold on, 15-9, the final, to improve to 7-7 on the season. They're a game behind Tampa Bay in the NFC South. Raiders, meanwhile, lose for the 10th straight time, but head coach Antonio Pierce says the team isn't quitting.
We got guys that's battling, no matter, next man up, right? You can poke armor and do all this stuff, but these guys are not budging, I'm not budging. We'll keep chopping wood, and at some point, the damn thing will break and go our way.
Vegas 2-12 on the season, tied with the Giants for the worst record in the NFL. College football news, Florida State QB DJ Uiagalelei has declared for the NFL draft, and Sacramento State is in talks with Michael Vick for their head coaching job. The university is planning to move up to the FBS is building a new stadium and reportedly has over $50 million in NIL funds. The two late NBA games last night, James Harden went off for 41 points. Clippers demolished the Jazz 144-107. And DeMar DeRozan's buzzer beater for the win came up short. No lighting the beam in Sacktown. Nuggets hold on to beat the Kings 130-129. I'm Pat Boyle.
It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
1 minute to beat 10. He's gone.
They throw in the end zone. Touchdown! Hey, the guy missed. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown! Southern Salting into the end zone.
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, give us a call at 855-212-4227. The Baltimore Ravens.
Lamar from the gun takes the snap, drops the throw, fires to the middle, and he's got Mark Andrews with a record-setting touchdown for the Ravens tight end. Mark Andrews gives the Ravens not only their first points of the game, but it is also the 48th touchdown of his career, the most in Ravens team history.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Here's the snap, chest high. Mayfield looking to his left, looking to his left, still looking to his left, directing traffic, throws the ball downfield. Caught ball! Mike Evans down the sideline. Is he inbounds to the 10? 5, 3, 2, 1. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Touchdown, Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
The Denver Broncos.
Quads to the right, four receivers right. This is going to be a double pass. They throw it, complete it, throw it back to Richardson. It's going to be intercepted. Intercepted, Nick Bonino. Bonino to the end zone. Touchdown, Denver.
The Green Bay Packers.
Love looks over the defense. Takes the snap. He's back to pass. Love has time. Bouncing in the pocket. Lofts it deep down the middle of the field for the end zone. It is caught. Touchdown, Green Bay. Romeo Doubs, his second of the night. Jordan Love with a moon ball down the middle, and Doubs underneath the goalpost with a sliding catch. He picked it right off the top of the turf.
Four great candidates for TD of the week. It's always hard to narrow it down. And with Josh Allen now running the table three consecutive weeks as your choice for Monday MVP, the trifecta from Josh, we decided we would go in a different direction and maybe give the other kids a chance. So you can vote for TD of the week. Man, that Romeo Doubs snag off the turf. Love the way that Ryan Radke called it on Westwood One in the Packers' victory. The other options, Mark Andrews' record-setting TD with Jerry Sandusky on Ravens Radio. Mike Evans' massive game for the Buccaneers and putting 40 points on the board in a comeback win. Gene Deckerhoff on Bucs Radio. And then, man, what a moment for Nick Bonino, who returns. It is a fumble because it was a backward pass. It was a lateral, but a trick play that gets blown up by Bonino as he steps in front of this lateral and is able to go the other way for the Broncos. That's Dave Logan on Denver Broncos radio. So the post is up at Amy After Hours. I need to throw it up on our Facebook page as well. I also owe you Facebookers a picture, so we're going to get to that. One moment from this weekend that was not a touchdown, but was just as critical and just as dramatic is the reason for our Defensive Player of the Week, sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org.
Tua takes the snap. Tua with pressure, throwing downfield to his right, and intercepted. Stingley again! That's going to do it. The Texans are going to beat Miami. Stingley's second pick seals the deal. And Houston will get its ninth win.
That's the call with Mark Vandermeer on Texans radio. What you don't hear is that Stingley had a pair of interceptions in that fourth quarter, and he was the one who was having to chase Tyreek Hill around the field. So that last interception comes at the expense of Hill and Tua, of course, and the Texans were hanging on for dear life, but the way that they were able to play defensively and later clinch their second consecutive AFC South title, making their second-year head coach D'Amico Ryan's oh so proud. So good for Stingley. He was able to limit Tyreek to just a couple of catches for 36 yards. So part of the reason that he is the defensive player of the week. Speaking of star wide receivers, we know Randy Moss is a Hall of Famer. He was honored by the Vikings at their game last night. Jake Reed and Chris Carter both walking out to midfield for the coin flip, wearing Randy Moss jerseys and carrying a flag. And then afterwards, Justin Jefferson, he flashes a heart to Randy and speaks to Randy through the TV camera when he catches a touchdown. Said he had actually been in touch with Randy Moss as well over the course of the last couple days.
Wished him, you know, the best of luck, and I was happy to see that he came out and said he had beat cancer and everything. But I always will, you know, have him in my prayers, and the effect that he has on people, just not just me, but you know, just the whole world. It's outstanding.
It means the world to this organization. His name's up on, you know, up in the rafters in the Ring of Honor and Hall of Famer. He's meant so much to the NFL, you know, the Twin Cities and what he was able to do here. We're behind him every step of the way. We care about him. We love him. And we just wanted to do whatever we could with the platform of Monday Night Football to make sure hopefully he was watching. And if it gave him any joy at all, it was well worth it.
He was definitely watching because Randy took to social after the fact to say how much he appreciated the support, the encouragement, so critical now. He had a six-hour surgery to remove a mass from a liver duct, a liver bile duct, and now has to go through chemo and radiation. So he's away from his job as an analyst, but lots of people in the football community thinking of him and lifting him up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You can find us online and our question of the show that really is sort of goofy and has no right or wrong answer. But I heard the study that indicated 1 in 3 Americans believe that re-gifting of presents is socially acceptable. Amy and Pete do not agree on this. So we've been asking you for your reactions, and it's pretty funny to see those of you who are weighing in on Facebook After Hours with Amy Lawrence. By the way, thank you for the anniversary wishes. Walker says, absolutely, somebody will like it. So see, it goes to good use, producer Pete. Aaron says, I'm with Pete. Give it away to someone who can use it, but don't pass it along as something you bought for them. Okay, so don't be disingenuous about it.
Thank you, Aaron.
Darren, absolutely re-gift it. If you're not going to use it, give it to someone who might. Let's see what else. One guy's like, do you know how many people buy crappy gifts and they get the nerve to get mad when you don't like it? That's not the question. Just don't give crappy gifts. How about that? So yeah, you can find us at A-Law Radio or at Amy After Hours. We'll do injury updates coming up on our hump show, which is Tuesday night into Wednesday. Keeping an eye on guys like Patrick Mahomes, of course, Geno Smith, TJ Watt, all encouraging news on Monday that those guys may very well be available for week 16. Man, it's a war of attrition right now. And yes, as we wrap up, today is my 1 year wedding anniversary. Man, there were years I thought this would never come, and I'm so grateful I waited. Happy anniversary to my husband, who is absolutely worth the wait. We'll talk to you tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.